It's time again for 3-Point Podcast. Three sports guys, three generations, and three hot takes. The triple threat includes baby boomer Ted Patel of Z92.5 The Castle. Our Gen Xer is Matt Burns of ESPN and the SEC Network out of Charlotte, North Carolina. The millennial man is Jared Patel of Bally Sports Detroit. Comments and questions can be sent by email to 3pointpod@gmail.com. Follow 3-Point Podcast on social media at 3-Point Pod. The fellows will get it rolling right after this from our partners.
Check out the Memorial Healthcare's Wellness Center in the Now building on the campus of Memorial Healthcare. Memorial Healthcare's Wellness Center includes locker rooms, private showers, steam rooms, a sauna, a lap pool, and more, including a raised track for walking and running with views of the entire Memorial campus and surrounding area. Personally, I love it, man. Sunday, Saturday morning, get in there, get a good workout in, hit the sauna up, and I also do the steam room. So it's a perfect spot. I mean, I think it's only $12 for a day pass, but for those of you who are looking to join for a winter membership, it's up to 15% off for your membership when it's paid in full. Memorial Healthcare strives to bring healthcare and wellness together, servicing patient needs from diagnosis to treatment to rehab and beyond. For more details, go online at www.memorialhealthcare.org or call 989-720-CARE. That's 989-720-2273.
Rivals Tap House and Grill is the area's go-to spot for the best in food and drink. Meet up with your friends and catch your favorite sporting events on over 20 high-def flat-screen TVs.
And our 120-inch projection screen.
Rivals can handle your large or small parties and is an awesome spot to put on your fundraising events. Weekly food and drink specials including gourmet burgers, wings, pizza, homemade soup, and salads. Rivals also stocks a large selection of craft and domestic brews. Rivals Tap House and Grill, the official gathering spot of 3-Point Podcast, located on the corner of Shiawassee and M21 in Corunna.
It's time for episode 305 of the 3-Point Podcast, presented by the Memorial Healthcare Wellness Center. Check out memorialhealthcare.org for details on everything they offer, including kids' swimming lessons. Our other great partners include AZ Branding Solutions, Jacobs Insurance Agency, Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services, Nelson House Funeral Homes, Rivals Tap House and Grill, and Success Group Mortgage and Servicing. 305, boys, let's get this thing rolling.
305. It's kind of funny. I was going to make a joke, but I'll leave that out. I heard something on the way. So we're recording Wednesday morning, and I took both kids to school, and I was listening to the radio. We still have XM. I know we talk about that a lot, but I feel like I'm getting old. I actually like listening to one of our local Charlotte stations, their morning show. Right. It's actually like pretty entertaining. Like they talk about some local stuff, but they have some funny segments that they do too. So I turn on the local radio and listen to that in the morning. But they did something, they brought something up today that they heard. And I'd be curious, Jared, you're a little younger. You're not school, college, obviously. You're past that. Ted, maybe you've heard about this. I'm not saying anything about your age or anything, but apparently it's becoming a trend on spring break this year, because spring breaks are starting to come up. You know, we're at that time that spring breaks will be happening. To get a shot of water and then get slapped in the face. Bars are starting because it's so hot. And it's so, you know, you're muggy, you're sweaty, you're gross, you know, whatever. It's you're in Florida, you're, you know, wherever down somewhere hot, that bars are selling shots of water that they just throw it in your face and then they slap you to give you wake up and, you know, whatever. And they're selling, it's like a $30 shot. It's like a shot of like what you would get a normal shot with actual booze
it's
and stuff in it. And
it's for the Instagram clicks. It's right. You see stuff like this all over. I don't understand it, man. I really don't. It's similar to like when I was a kid. I remember we went to what is it in Chicago where they like make fun of you at the restaurant? Ed DeBevics or something like that.
Ed DeBevics, yep.
Even as a kid who I think it's like maybe targeted to, I'm like, what is the purpose of this? This is like just idiotic. And this whole new, like, it's not even necessarily just this water shot you're talking about. I see this just at regular, like, seemingly bars all over social media. I don't understand it. It's embarrassing. I don't know why people would pay for it. It's one of those things, like, if you take that video and you post it on the internet, it's like, are you supposed to look good in this video? I don't think anyone's ever looked cool getting slapped by a bartender after drinking a shot of whether it's water or beer or whatever. It makes no sense.
Yeah. No, I tried to place myself back in college, 20, 21 years old, on spring break or even downtown Grand Rapids, you know, whatever, and try and think, like, would I have done this? I'd like to think no. I'd rather spend my money on actual drinks.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, yeah, you're 20 years old. You want to get some, you know, some clicks on Instagram, like you said, maybe. But I was just like, maybe I'm getting old. But I was like, what are the kids doing these days,
man? Man, it's insane. Count me out. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I never heard of it. Who cares? I don't care about Instagram clicks or Twitter clicks or whatever. It's a big thing to your group, Jared. And just a question. When they do that and they get, what do they call it? A viral Instagram or something. Do they get any money out of that or anything? Or is it just the bragging rights that, man, I got 10,000 clicks. What's the whole point?
Yeah, more so bragging rights. I mean, you can get paid if you get enough views. I mean, whether, but I don't think many people are getting very much money off of just one random viral video. If you're, you're Instagram model or something like that, yeah, you're making your livelihood off of Instagram. So I don't know why it's for the attention, I guess. Mm-hmm. No, there's no such thing as bad attention. I don't understand it. I don't think it's as prevalent as we think, but it's definitely out there. And I'm going to be in Florida this week on vacation, boots on the ground. So I'll keep my eye out for one. And if I see one, I'll make sure to give you guys my thoughts next week on it. But good Lord, it's just another one of those things that just never made sense to me. And whenever you see it, I just like shake my head.
How about signing up for it and posting it on our podcast site?
Yeah, like, I've never.
Is this a family trip? Well, a trip with the girlfriend, a trip with the boys? What are you doing?
Yeah, whole family. My brothers, both their girlfriends, and my parents all heading down to Florida. We had a little mishap where we weren't able to get a rental car on the way. Basically, Enterprise screwed us and said that we had a car up until the 11th hour. Then we didn't have that car anymore. So now, kind of cramming into the Blazer five seater, but there's only five of us going down and five of us coming back. So yeah, it's gonna be tight quarters, but I can't wait, man. One more day. Once we get through the day, it's on to vacation mode.
You're driving all the way down?
I'm not driving. I'm riding my dad.
But
driving.
You guys as a group are driving down. That's a hike.
20 hour.
That's a bit of a drive.
Yeah. Oh, Jared, by the way, also not in conjunction with spring training, but he has a big work outing that, hey, share with our listeners a little bit about your DC trip.
Yeah, so I'll be heading to DC after that for the Pistons game. So I kind of worked out luckily where they got to drive down and drive back. I luckily just had to drive down, and then I'm flying out to DC to work the Pistons game. So hopefully we can get a Pistons dub out there. That's on the 29th, but we'll see. So yeah, it's officially spring training time, and or not spring training, excuse me, spring break time.
Yeah, spring training too.
And spring training. We might catch a spring training game, ironically. To be honest, I never understood, Ted, why you weren't a big spring break guy. It seems like something you should do every year.
When I was younger, in fact, when I was in college, it was in those days you could still hitchhike and be relatively comfortable. And I actually was going to hitchhike to Florida for spring break one year, but chickened out at the last minute. You know, I said, nah, this isn't going to work. But, you know, I get it at your age. At my age, the last thing I want to do is go to spring break with all those crowds. You know, I'd rather go off season. In fact, I'm going to go down the first week in April, and I think spring break will be pretty much done by then.
Yeah, for the most part, everything's done by then. I know down here in North Carolina, our spring breaks are a little later than Michigan's, but usually by April, they're wrapping up. There, I don't know. We always talk about the generational stuff on this podcast. The hitchhiking, you hitchhiking from Michigan to Florida and feeling safe about it might be one of the more generational differences.
Oh,
because all you see now, all these true crime documentaries on Netflix or whatever, half of them start by a hitchhiker getting picked up.
Well, and think about when those stories are from like the 70s, 80s when Ted would have been doing it.
Right.
I'll tell you guys, I mean, before I even got a car, before I could drive, you know, I was 15 years old. I had a girlfriend that lived in Vernon. I used to hitchhike M71 to Vernon, you know, quite often. I mean, it was crazy. And then, you know, I remember this is definitely a generational thing. You know, my parents, God love them, right? But when I was going up to CMU, I didn't have a ride for whatever reason. I came home and they took me to St. John's. I don't know if I told this story before. They took me to St. John's, dropped me off at 27. I hitchhiked the rest of the way up there with their permission.
Back to college hitchhiking, huh? For listeners that don't know, people not from the Corona area, downtown Corona, like where you grew up, to Vernon, not very far.
No.
You know, only a couple miles, few miles or whatever.
6 miles, maybe five yeah. miles. Yeah.
But still, to think that you know, you're walking down M71, a fairly busy road, with the thumb out, just to get down to Vernon. That cracks me up. That's awesome.
Oh, I had a couple of interesting rides when I was coming home at night from the girlfriends. I remember one, there's a couple dudes, you know, and you're talking about Dateline, you know, when you think back on it, you know, a couple dudes, you know, they said, "Hey man, hop on in. They light up a doobie, you know, it's time to go. They give me my ride back into town. I said, "Thanks guys. See you later."
Well, the thing that cracks me up the most is the CMU drop off. It's like they were, you know, going on the, God dang, my brain is not working this morning. These early morning pods, they kill me. What is the old trail, the Oregon Trail? It's like they were taking the Oregon Trail to Mount Pleasant. Like, man, it was such a hike that they couldn't go the extra 30 minutes to CMU, or otherwise they would have had to pack a lunch and get a hotel room and
right.
an hour drive. It's like, I know. It's funny they couldn't quite swing that.
Just
but also crazy, like just how they, like you said, they with their permission, they felt safe about it.
Right.
Nowadays, no way would you drop your kid off and say, "Figure out the rest of the way." Like, no way possible would you do way. That.
I know. I mean, I just think to this latest story in Nashville, it has nothing to do with hitchhiking, but this poor guy that stumbled out of the bar, and I mean, it's been like 7 or 8 days. They don't know where he went to. You know, yeah. I don't know if you followed that story at all, but it's
I saw some headlines. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Real quick here,
you never know where this podcast is going to go.
No, we just turn the mic on and wing it. You know, catching up just a little bit. It's kind of a tetertainment thing, but not really, since we're not going to have one. Was invited over to Casey's house. His girlfriend, Katie, is a humongous Swiftie. So she invited us over to watch the Taylor Swift concert on Disney. Yeah. And she had a whole spread of food laid out. And they had a little title under each food, kind of coincided with some of her songs. She's intense, but I got to give her credit. It was a nice party and it was fun to watch Taylor Swift. And now I understand completely the hoopla. You know, this woman is top of the line. I mean, there's nobody that can compete with her right now. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. The concerts are very entertaining. Even if you're not, like, you don't know a bunch of the songs. She's one of those, like, everyone knows something from her. Mm-hmm. She's been around so long and has so many hits. Like, you've heard some of her music, you know, somewhere, right, even just in passing. But I saw that on Disney Plus also, and I was going to watch it. I've watched, like, some of the promo clips or whatever, and it's like, I kind of want to watch this and see what the show is all about.
Give yourself the 5 hours, and
yeah.
At the end, don't turn it off at the credits, because she comes out kind of an encore thing. It's an acoustic set where she sings 4 more songs.
Wow. Yeah, it's the whole concert, right? So
absolutely, yeah. Recorded at SoFi Stadium in LA. So kudos to Katie, our resident Swiftie.
Yeah.
All right, we'll leave it there. Let's take a short pause and come back with Prep Spotlight right after this.
It's much more than a gym. It's the Memorial Healthcare Wellness Center. Stocked with a wide array of state-of-the-art cardio and strength equipment, the Wellness Center also offers a variety of fitness classes. Run, jog, or get your steps in on the raised sky track with views of the entire Memorial campus. As part of your membership, enjoy the spa-like locker rooms with private showers. Also included is use of the steam rooms, saunas, and therapy pool. For more details, go online at memorialhealthcare.org or call 989-720-CARE.
Nelson House Funeral Home's number one goal is to serve the families in our area. The Nelson House staff are proud to serve our local community with reliability, integrity, and compassion. Unique service representing unique lives, ensuring your loved ones receive the honor and celebration they deserve. Founded in 1880 and continuing the tradition today with chapels in Owosso, Chesaning, and New Lothrop. For more details, find them at nelson-house.com or call 989-723-5234.
Success Group Mortgage and Servicing is Shiawassee County's only licensed mortgage broker, lender, and servicer. That means you get exclusive products not found anywhere else. If you are looking to purchase a home or refinance a home in Florida, Hawaii, or Michigan, stop what you're doing and give Success Group Mortgage and Servicing a call. 989-720-4380. That's 989-720-4380.
Jacobs Insurance Agency has served Shiawassee County and the surrounding areas since 1977. Just like 3 Point Podcasts, we've had three generations, Gary Jacobs Sr., Gary Jacobs II, Brian Jacobs, and myself, Noah Jacobs, serving our community with offices in Waterford and Owosso on M21 just west of Home Depot. Stop in or go online to jacobsinsurance.com to get a quote or get your questions answered by our team. Jacobs Insurance is a proud supporter of our local schools and the proud sponsor of the Prep Spotlight. Insure everything, local, independent, and trusted. It's our family working together to protect yours. That's the Jacobs way.
All right, guys, let's get into this. A little participation, especially for Jared. I mean, they had the state high school boys finals at Breslin last week. And what I picked up from it, watching the Division One Orchard Lake St. Mary win, over North Farmington, Trey McKinney, he's a stud and he's only a junior. I mean, I can see why Tom Izzo was sitting there intently smiling away. He's going to definitely try to get that young man. I think.
Yeah. And before you jump in, Jared, I'll add my one thing that I saw. Cause I know you know a lot more about all the games. I saw that he's going to stay at Orchard Lake St. Mary. Some people were talking about, you know, we see a lot of these
other prep school or something.
Yeah. These stud Michigan athletes go, you know, elsewhere. And he already said that he's going back. I mean, Orchard Lake St. Mary is basically a prep school anyway. But,
it is.
You know, I like that. I'm glad. I know he did already. He's from Flint, so he did already, I guess, transfer once. But it's cool that he's not seeing, oh, man, senior year, I could bounce out to, you know, Maryland or Virginia, you know, something like that and play at a bigger school. But I did see that, so that's cool.
Yeah, 100%. We need more of that. Yeah. I mean, I never fault a kid for doing it. I mean, it seems like it's worked for a lot of really talented players in the NBA or college or every level, really. But something magical about those weekends, man. I mean, it's a bummer this weekend. We didn't really get a great weekend of games. You know, the Division IV game between Sacred Heart and Wyoming Tri-Unity Christian, who's there every freaking year. It seems like that's their fourth straight finals appearance. Wyoming Tri-Unity Christian won that game by 20. Their coach, like Mark Keeler, I believe is his name. I think he's got one more year and then he's hanging it up. But God, I think he's at state title number 6. So he's got quite the program there. Drew Neitzel is in the building. You know, if you remember, he went to Wyoming Park. So he was there just rooting on the local kids. So that was a cool game, but it was a 20-point blowout. Sacred Heart, I kind of like what their squad was, man. I mean, these D4 schools, you never know what you're going to get. They had, you know, 5 guys that could shoot the lights out, not really do a whole lot else, but it was entertaining to say the least that they were out there shooting the lights out and making a lot of 3-pointers. So I appreciated that. But out of the D1 game, like you were saying, Ted, I mean, Trey McKinney, yeah, wow. Number 18 player in the country, 30-plus points in that game. Kind of a boring game, a lot of fouls. I think there was 40-plus fouls called. Just never really got going. And that's the second year in a row where that Division I game has kind of been like that. I didn't think the referees really did a poor job. It just was a super-duper physical game. That's North Farmington. Farmington, ironically enough, runs the same exact press as our Corona Cavaliers do, Detroit Cass Tech does, Ann Arbor Huron does. So it's a pretty popular 2-2-1 press, but Orchard Lake St. Mary's really had no issues breaking it. And Trey McKinney, I mean, had the entire Michigan State roster and Tom Izzo watching him. Yeah. That's for a reason. He's impressive.
Good comment on the press break, because that was one of the things that really stood out to me, how well disciplined Orchard Lake was, keeping the ball away from half court where the trap comes. You know, they really moved the ball well against that press. I was impressed with that. And back to Trey McKinney staying, it was obvious from the broadcast, he loves his head coach, man.
Yeah. Coach Cover. I don't know too much what the why they have this strong bond, but I mean they're both in tears hugging each other after the game. Coach Cover was hyped, was fired up, man.
Yeah.
When they're doing the trophy presentation, he had a few fist pounds and tears are streaming down his cheeks.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah. So you love those moments, man. Orchard Lake St. Mary is gonna be the team to beat next year again. I mean, I don't know who can do it. McKinney just looked like a man among boys on a court with a few other Division I players. It's not like it was, you know, just some random pickup game that he stumbled into. I mean, that's a Division I state title game.
Yeah, and they were talking about him, you know, when he gets to the next level, he'll put on some weight and some muscle. He looked pretty yeah. well built as it was.
Right.
He looks like he should be starting at like middle linebacker for Orchard Lake St. Mary's as well. That was what surprised me too. I haven't seen him play. He's a lot bigger than what I would have assumed.
Right.
Very stocky. I love the style of play that he has. Kind of an old school game almost.
Yep.
Go ahead, Ted.
I was just going to say the other winners were Grand Rapids Christian in D2 and Niles Brandywine.
No, hold on.
No, got it
Warren
wrong.
Warren Lincoln in D2. So that was the game of the weekend, Warren Lincoln versus Christian. I was really impressed with Warren Lincoln. I tell you what, they're going to be the team to watch in D2 next year. They have these two twins, the Blackwell twins. We did a story on them. Moses and Marcus. Moses is like my size, and Marcus is about 6'2". Marcus is kind of the steady, you know, 25-point-per-game scorer. Whereas Moses, who kind of lit the Breslin on fire with four or five, you know, deep threes, like Steph Curry range three balls, to the point where Grand Rapids Christian was having to pick him up full court face guard. That's the ultimate compliment you can ever get as a shooter is, we're just like, you're such a good shooter, we're just not even going to let you touch it. Right. And he's also electric fast and has the ball on a string as their point guard. And then they also have like, you know, three or four, you know, 6'3 to 6'5 guys that they just cycled throughout that game. But just a really, really impressive effort. Seemed like a team that truly is like one unit who is obviously very talented and athletic, but also just played the right way. That was a great game. They pulled away from Grand Rapids Christian late after a kind of an early third quarter run by Christian, who has Jalen Owora or something. It's a very hard last name to say, but their center is going to Toledo. He had a great game as well. I think he basically ended up with a double-double, 14 points, 10 rebounds. So that was probably the game of the weekend. But even that, Warren Lincoln pulled away by 10 by the time it was all said and done. So we were talking about how spoiled we were for the football finals, where I don't think there was a single running clock. This was kind of the exact opposite, in my opinion. Still really cool. Still love, you know, working it and watching it. I love seeing the different strategies and styles of all the teams, but just didn't get that kind of legendary game that maybe we would have hoped for.
Right. Well, we are trying to keep this tight, but I do have a question. What were your duties there at the Breslin this year?
Essentially just helping with whatever. Let's just say I was not very high up on the totem pole this weekend. I'm kind of just helping the broadcast in any way possible, which, So, to put it lightly, not very high up this
weekend. Yeah, but nothing wrong with that. It's a great experience just hanging out for four games at the Bres for the boys' state finals. And I must say, I do like it. The weekend. I wish they kept it this weekend every year because it, you know, doesn't mess with the NCAA tournament. You know, yeah, you got the Big Ten tournament, but you still don't feel that you're missing anything if you go to the boys' game. So I like it. I liked it.
Is that the reason that did you ever find out the reasoning why they switched the boys and the girls this weekend?
Yeah, they do that when the women, the NCAA women's schedule falls to where, let's say, Michigan State is in the tournament. And they might have a home game.
Right.
So it's all dependent on the women's schedule in college, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Okay. Also, kudos to Niles Brandywine taking home the state championship in D3. Real quick, like in girls basketball, last night was the D3 quarterfinal. New Lothrop, you know, that young New Lothrop Hornet team came up just 4 points short against Ypsilanti Arbor Prep. So watch out for the Lady Hornets down the road for sure. We talked about that last time. And speaking of New Lothrop, New Lothrop's Sarah Damon was presented the award of Scholar Athlete presented by the MHSAA at the Bres. So she gets an extra $200 or $2,000 scholarship moving forward. So good for her. So
nice.
That is the Prep Spotlight presented by Jacobs Insurance Agency. We'll come back. Get your brackets out. We'll talk a little March Madness right after this.
Are you ready to take your brand to the next level? Look no further. Introducing AZ Branding Solutions, where we help grow your brand from A to Z. At AZ, we're committed to helping businesses and organizations like yours reach new heights. Our full-service print and digital branding agency is your one-stop destination for all things branding. Need a stunning web or graphic design that captures your essence? We've got you covered. Want captivating social media content that engages your audience? Done. And that's not all. We're experts in video production and photography, ensuring your brand tells a compelling visual story. Plus, we specialize in screen printing and embroidery, turning your brand into wearable art that speaks volumes. Whether you're a startup or an established business, AZ is here to transform your brand dreams into reality. Ready to grow with us? Partner with AZ today and experience the difference. Visit our website at www.az.co or give us a call at 1-844-360-AZEE. AZ Branding Solutions, where your success begins.
The Memorial Healthcare Wellness Center is another great addition to the Owosso community. Start your wellness journey today by signing up for a 2024 membership. Get 15% off a yearly membership and 15% off your enrollment fee for new members. Membership gets you full use of the workout equipment, fitness classes like Pilates, yoga, spin, and many others. Relax in the steam room or sauna after your workout. Run, jog, or walk around the third floor Skytrack. Enjoy the spa-like locker rooms with sparkling clean private showers and other amenities. For more details, go online at memorialhealthcare.org or call 989-720-CARE.
Corey Shook & Associates Real Estate Services is the official and exclusive realtor and broker for 3 Point Podcast. Corey and her team have been providing personal, exemplary service in real estate sales since 2004. Corey Shook & Associates Real Estate Services are total professionals helping you sell your current house or buying your dream home. Stop in at 216 West Exchange Street in Owosso, get info online at coreyshook.com, and follow on Facebook at Corey Shook Realtor for more details. If you are looking for honesty, ambition, and expertise, you're looking for Corey Shook & Associates Real Estate Services.
All right, guys. I don't know, Matt, you got lots of family duties going on, but any thought of all, at all of going to see Michigan State play Mississippi State?
Oh, yeah. How about that?
No. Won't be going. No, it would be cool because, you know, we know how those, I guess, those sessions go. You know, you buy the ticket and you get the whole session. So, no, it's nothing against going to see Michigan State. That would be a really cool game. The big one would be if they get to match up with North Carolina in round two. That would be the one to really go to. But, no, Mississippi State, I mean, we'll get into the brackets a little bit. Not that we're, like, giving people anything that they can't get, you know, anywhere else talking to or watching any of the, like, bracket shows, college basketball shows or whatever. But our thoughts anyway, that Mississippi State game is really interesting for Michigan State in Charlotte, like you said, because Mississippi State played pretty well. I mean, they're a solid SEC school. I mean, not a traditional basketball powerhouse program like, you know, Michigan State is, but they're a pretty good team this year. So Michigan State, it's not going to be an easy win in round one on Thursday for the Spartans. They're going to have to play their best game, and then most likely they would have to play North Carolina in round two. So not an easy first weekend for Tom Izzo, especially coming in, you know, not necessarily limping, but not playing their best ball coming into the tournament. But we know Tom Izzo and Michigan State. It would not shock me if they were there the second weekend.
I have a bit of a confession. So as you guys know, normally I spend like these last 3 days, like this is all I do. This is all I talk about. This is all I research. Let's just say adulting and work maybe have gotten in the way of that this year a little more than I would have liked. But on first glance, when I filled out this bracket yesterday, when I was using the restroom, I have Michigan State, man, Final Four. I really do think. I only feel validated from that after watching that Virginia game last night. First off, just a real quick tangent on that. What the hell was that?
Yeah, Virginia's not good.
Indiana State, the team I've been championing for. I think I said it right. Championing. Oh my god. For all year, who has the number one, you know, net offense in the country, can score on anybody, and instead we get this Virginia crap product in that play-in game. But what that showed me is that's a team that finished third in the ACC.
Right.
And, you know, North Carolina, obviously a one seed. They're the weakest of all the one seeds. I love the matchup for Michigan State. I think Baycott obviously is a little bit of a mismatch nightmare. But I don't view Baycott as, like, that killer who's, like, not going to let anybody stand in his way to get back to the Final Four. Like, I really think Michigan State is going to be on or Michigan State's going to put North Carolina upset alert. But they can't get ahead of themselves. They got to beat Mississippi State first. They got to handle business there. It definitely makes me a little bit uncomfortable knowing that this game is going to be played right in your backyard, Matt, and basically North Carolina's backyard as well.
Yeah.
If Michigan State eventually does get to that round of 32 game. But flat out, I've been saying it all year. I haven't been hitting the panic button on Michigan State or Tom Izzo. This is just one of those classic runs that they can make that will just reset the equilibrium on everything we've been hearing about all year.
So you got them locked. You got them locked into Final Four. You're no changing, right?
No changing. It kind of is what it is. I'm in.
But you're able to change it. But I'm completely opposite. I got Mississippi State beating them first round. They're done. That's where I got them. And no diss. Michigan State, you know, it's a good program, but I don't know. I just don't think this is the year.
Right. Mississippi State's pretty – it's really – to me, it's almost – I've used this term. It's almost like a coin flip game with me, Michigan State, Mississippi State, MSU versus MSU. Yeah, one of my buddies was like, I've got the ultimate hack. Just put MSU on the second line, and no one will know if you were wrong or not.
That's like something that's funny you say that. That is literally like I this is the first year I ever run my big bracket pool. That is something a bunch.
I was going to ask about that, by the way.
Just again, that's another casualty of like we even talk about spring break, dude. I haven't packed. I haven't done anything. I haven't even thought about it. I don't think I'll think about that. I'm actually going to be on vacation until I'm sitting down on Florida on the beach. Then I think it'll. But, yeah, like, that's exactly something that some idiot would try to pull to get an extra point there, for sure, Matt.
Yeah, you know someone will do that. But the North Carolina thing, real quick, you know, not trying to get too deep in this. I do think North Carolina – I get what you're saying, because North Carolina being the weakest of the one seeds, they're still really good. RJ Davis is really, really good. And, I mean, if Tyson Walker plays like he did, you know, some of the games down the stretch, then he could match up with RJ Davis. But – RJ Davis is really good, and I don't think Michigan State has anyone. If Baycott plays the game that he's capable of, I don't know if Michigan State has anyone who can match up with him. But Baycott's not like a world beater either, so I could see Michigan State figuring out a way to beat them. But that's especially right here in Charlotte, that's going to be a tough game if it comes to that.
You know, looking at the brackets too, I don't know what you guys think. Again, I have a hard time spending a ton of time doing any research. Yeah. You know, when I filled out my bracket, it's still subject to change, but it's pretty well locked in. It's hard for me when you get to the final eight to not chalk, you know. I mean, I think I have right now 3-1s and a 2, you know.
Right. Well, because you always try and think of you know, rarely, I mean, it has been that way, the chalk Final Fours or Elite Eights. But, you know, sometimes there is that Cinderella run.
Right.
So you try and think about who's it going to be. Is it going to be James Madison? Is it going to be Oakland this year? Is it going to be, you know, and it's hard to pick those when you haven't watched every single game. When you, like you said, when you haven't done all the research, when you haven't spent 3 hours breaking down the bracket or whatever, it's much easier just to go like Arizona, Kentucky, UConn, you know, just pick all the those ones Houston. Right there. But speaking of that, I mean, Oakland matching up with Kentucky, you know, we were excited about Oakland getting in, and then they draw Coach Cal in Kentucky, and it's like, oh, geez, it's kind of a cool story. I get, you know, Oakland's coach and Coach Cal are like really good friends. So I saw a clip that he was talking about it. Like, you know, you don't want to match up against one of your really good friends in this tournament because you don't want to beat each other. But it's also kind of cool to coach against one of your really good friends. Yeah. So that's a cool story, but it's going to be a tall task for Oakland to beat Kentucky. Kentucky, it's a good team.
It's a very tough draw in terms of like winning the game. But in terms of the story, and if you do somehow find a way to win that game, I mean, Oakland, they're legends forever if you beat Kentucky. So if I was Oakland, I'd rather play them as a 3 seed than, you know, Creighton or any of these other people on the 3 line. Like, let's take our chances against the big dogs of Kentucky. Yeah. What I love about that game is it's totally a contrast to styles, which usually could be the recipe for an upset. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit tall for a 14 seed to beat a 3, but I believe Oakland is like in the 230s of total pace in the entire country. And I mean, Kentucky's top 20, maybe higher than that. I think they might be top 10 in total pace in the country. So totally a high-flying team versus kind of the slow, draw it out Oakland style, but Oakland can shoot with anybody. And I really think that's my number one circled game outside of Michigan State versus Mississippi State kicking off the tournament at 12:15. That game at 7:15 on tomorrow night, Thursday.
Yep.
That's probably my number one game of the weekend. I can't wait to watch that one. I really think I told myself that I was going to take Oakland to win that game, no matter who they played, but Kentucky, who I do have as my eventual national champion, that was the one freaking team I would not take Oakland to beat. So unfortunate, but if Oakland ends up winning that game, I'm going to be sick to my stomach, but it'll be awesome for them. So Campy is kind of like that coach's coach. It sort of seems like all the coaches really respect him. So it's no surprise that him and Coach Cal have somewhat of a relationship that goes back. So that's going to be a really fun game.
Yep, it is. It's going to be a fun Thursday, man, with the Spartans tipping it off at 12:15 on CBS and Oakland, Kentucky on CBS, you know. And this is where my cable TV really is handy, because I click, 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 click. I love it.
You did. So, yeah, you still have traditional cable.
Yep.
Jared, what do you use to watch TV? Do you have YouTube TV?
Yeah, YouTube TV.
I did see that YouTube TV, you know, they have the multi-viewer that you can watch four things at once. And they finally updated their software, I guess, or whatever, that you can choose the four things in that multi-viewer. Before, you could only pick like what they had laid out, but now you can choose. So that's kind of cool if you use YouTube
TV. That's awesome. Yes.
Yeah, we use Hulu, so we won't be able to do that. But yeah, flipping back and forth is just as easy.
And before we get to Juwan Howard, guys, when you look at the earlier rounds, who are the teams that you would say, hey, watch out for these? I mean, I've got Grand Canyon going a couple games, James Madison, McNeese and Samford. Those are kind of my Cinderellas that I put my money on.
I mean, I saw someone, I forget who it was, you know, one of the quote unquote experts saying that Grand Canyon might be that sleeper because of how they play, their style, and then the draw. That they could be the one that you see in the second weekend, maybe even into the Elite Eight. So that could be the one. I want to say Oakland, right? I mean,
that'd
be the fun one. NC State, I mean, 11 seed isn't necessarily like a low seed. I know it's 11 is, it's not like a 1, 2, or 3, but they just ran through the ACC tournament and won it. And they beat, they at the end of the season, they played pretty well. And then, like I said, they ran through the ACC tournament and won it. So they're you know, sometimes momentum is what it's all about. And if they could build off of what they did in the ACC tournament, maybe NC State is that team. So I don't know. You never know. There's always the trends you got to pick.
Yeah.
But
to go off of some of the ones you threw out, Ted, I noticed they were all 12 seeds. Yeah. So 12 seeds, I believe, since I think the stat is since 2015, they are like 9-30. These games, so it's not quite the upsets that you once remembered. McNeese, that's the trendy one because of Will Wade, who has, you know, coached at LSU for a while.
Their style of play,
but at the end of the day, Gonzaga, I mean, within the last 6-7 years, every year they deliver in the tournament. So that to me is a fool's pick. I hate to say it, but that was a fool's pick to me.
Take your pick on fool's pick.
The number one, 12-5. I mean, Wisconsin, they're like Virginia, man. Bet against them every time they're in the tournament just because of their style of play. So take James Madison as the 12 over Wisconsin there in that 5 matchup. Another one I love is this is an 11 seed, Duquesne. Keith Dambrot, former LeBron's high school coach at St. Vincent St. Mary's. He coached at CMU for a stint, kind of had a fallout there. Obviously coached at Akron for a while. This is his final season, kind of a dream season for them in Duquesne. 11 seed versus BYU. I love that pick just for the story. I'm taking them. In that game, New Mexico, the 11 seed versus Clemson is actually the favorite. So anytime that's the case, I think straight up the 11 seed, whenever they're favorited straight up, I think they're like 9-1 straight up in those games. So if you're not taking New Mexico State, you're kind of just missing an obvious upset pick there, or at least an upset pick according to the seeding.
Yeah.
So that's another one I love as well. And then one last one I have, let me track this sucker down. I also love Drake. I mean, that's not much of an upset. As a 10 seed over Washington State, I just love their style of play. I was really impressed with how they kind of handled the storm in the Horizon League, in March Madness against Indiana State, my team. So I really like their style of play. We'll see. Grand Canyon. What is it about Grand Canyon? You said their style of play is what you like. Is why you're a bit interested in them?
Well, for me, it wasn't anything I said. I forget what it was. I watched a clip. It might have been like Andy Katz, or it was someone breaking down some of the upsets. And someone said that Grand Canyon could be the sleeper because of their style of play. So that's all I was going off of. I forget specifically like what he said. It might have been their pace of play, kind of like you saying Kentucky versus Oakland. Mm-hmm. Could have been something like that. But you never know with these upsets. I mean, like you said, you always hear about the 12 over 5, but that's not always like a always put one in because it doesn't always happen.
Not always.
There's always going to be some upsets that you never know about. But we got to give real quick what are – so you already said you're picking Kentucky. When I went through – I've said this before. I go through and for the most part, I go off of gut. You know, maybe there's some stuff that I know or not necessarily know, but, you know, stuff that I think is going to happen. Right. I kept going back to UConn. I feel like I've talked to some of my buddies still up in Bristol who are diehard UConn fans and just asking them, you know, is this the team? You know, it seems like UConn every few years, every handful of years, 6-7 years, they have that team that's going to make a run. And they're just uber confident in the Huskies this year. And I just clicking through, filling them out. Purdue as a one seed. I'm never going to trust them. And, you know, I don't think this is a year that Duke is going to make a run. I don't think, even though we're talking Kentucky, I know you picked them personally. I think they're going to come up short or whatever. I kept coming back to UConn. I was like, I just feel like maybe this is a year. So that was, and I think I did have, now I'm trying to, I think I did have UConn over Kentucky, but.
Yeah,
the Huskies. Huskies were my pick. And I will say, I saw posted his and he had UConn winning it too.
Back to back right now. That's what I have. UConn. They've just been impressive all year.
I agree. Like they are definitely the favorite, but you guys are like Ted. I mean, you might as well not even fill out this bracket for a pool because hearing those 12 versus fives that you have and the fact that everybody's going to be picking UConn, like your bracket's going to be, you're going to be losing by 3 points and you're never going to make that ground back up the rest of the bracket. You might as well not even fill one out.
Well, I didn't say I had them locked in. I said, I like those teams, but I get what you're saying, but I think I can fill out my bracket any way I want. I mean,
I think UConn is the favorite. I would pick UConn if I had like a gun to my head, who I think really, really is going to win the title, but everybody's going to be on UConn. That's like one of those teams that you send once the brackets come unlocked at 12 o'clock and you can see who everybody picks. It's like, oh shoot. 70% of this pool is UConn winning it.
What's the philosophy on playing the bracket? Is it to finish as high as you can or be a day 1-2 wonder? I mean, that didn't work so well for you last year.
No, and it sounds stupid when UConn like last year doesn't end up winning it. So, you know, it's my philosophy with a bracket. I never want to be, and it's burned me a time or two before where I pick a great bracket and I end up losing by, you know, 10 points because of some round one matchup that I picked wrong because it ends up being a pretty fairly chalk Final Four and championship game. So to me, I like to find those 2-3, maybe a 4 seed, put all my chips in one basket, have fun filling out the rest of the bracket, taking like a, you know, I'm not doing it, but taking like an Oakland over Kentucky, knowing that, hey, as long as Kentucky wins and wins all their games, I'm going to win my bracket pool.
Intriguing.
Good strategy.
Yep, not bad. Well, you know, before we get out of March Madness, we got to talk Juwan Howard and the University of Michigan. I mean, we were a little bit off on our timing last recording, but we did cover it and we did have our opinions and, you know, they didn't mess around. Ward Manuel got rid of him. Thoughts?
It's terrible. It's just a bad thing for the university that this ever happened, that it got this far. I mean, I think we've been out on Juwan 2 years now. I think we kind of saw the writing on the wall, sort of lost the fan base, maybe probably lost the locker room in some sense over some of the altercations he's had.
Yeah.
Time for a new regime, man. I mean, people are throwing out John Beilein. I don't think that's realistic at all. I mean, also he's old. He's pretty damn old. Even if he does come back, what you got 3-4 years out of him and then he's gone again. So to me, I don't know who you replace him with. I mean, honestly, my number one pick, I think he's not the sexy hire. I don't think it'll happen. We talk about Indiana State a lot. I love Coach Josh Schertz. I want him. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's realistic. I think he maybe has one more step before he gets that big-time Big Ten, SEC, ACC job. But that would be number one on my list. Ironically, one of the names I saw thrown out, and I don't think he would take it, Shaka Smart. Marquette. He previously was at Texas, kind of flamed out there, found a really pretty sweet home here in Marquette and has had a lot of success there. to me, if he went to Michigan, it's kind of just repeating the whole Texas thing again. You found right. somewhere where you belong. They love you there. They treat you like you're a king. They don't want you to leave. I don't think that hire would work out. It's a sexy hire. I like the sound right. of it off my tongue, but I just don't think it would end up working out. So I don't know who you replace, but at the end of the day, I'm just glad that Juwan is out and we can talk about who the heck the next guy is, because it just they became unwatchable. I watched maybe 5 minutes of total gameplay of them this season, and I'm thankful that I didn't waste any more time on them.
Yeah, it's a shame that it played out the way that it did, because like we've said before, you know, Juwan is a Michigan legend, and no matter how you feel about the Fab Five or not, he is a Michigan legend. Coming back, having the success those first couple of years, you know, multiple Sweet 16s, a Big Ten title, it was looking like this was going to be the best fit ever, you know, in college basketball. It was looking like it was going to be, we're set up for like a magical run, and then it just came crashing down. So it's definitely, you know, it's a shame that it played out the way that it did, because you started hearing some rumblings about maybe culture issues, or like, you know, the inmates running the asylum type of thing, that the players just weren't, not necessarily like respecting him, but, you know, we're just not like putting in the work like they should be or whatever. So, you know, it's a shame that it played out the way that it did. It doesn't necessarily mean to me that it was like a complete failure. The last couple of years were really, really bad, but, you know, he did still come in and have some success. Yeah. With Juwan or John Beilein's players or whatever. Yeah. I get all that, but he did still have some good years, won a Big Ten title, you know? So it wasn't like a complete failure, but as far as like who comes in, the John Beilein thing, I think he's 71 years old. He last coached before the NIL stuff was here. The transfer portal is what it is. You know, I just, if it was a like 1 or 2 year thing, maybe, but we're seeing that everyone's transferring from Michigan. There's basically no one left on the roster. So I don't even know what he would do. Does he want to recruit? Does he want to even put in the work? You know, all that. So it's also like trying to relive something that was great 10 years ago. It's like, let's just move on. If he wants to be like an advisor or something, maybe, but I don't think bringing Beilein back would be the right way to go. And then, yeah, then you go through the list. Who are you going to bring in? One of my friends threw out Shaka Smart, and I was like, why would he leave Marquette? He gets paid like $3 million a year at Marquette, so they pay just fine. They make the tournament every year as a top three seed. So, I mean, no issue there. He can make a run to the Final Four at Marquette. He doesn't have to compete with, you know, Michigan State, Wisconsin, and the Big Ten schedule, you know, all the other teams coming into the Big Ten. You know, so that's why, like, I tweeted out, I don't think the Michigan job is as sexy as like some people think it is. Like, you know, most people think like, yeah, just offer anyone a job and they're gonna come here. I saw people throwing out Coach Cal. Why would he leave Kentucky and come to Michigan?
That's a funny one.
You know, yeah, like, why like, you know, it's the fans that think like it's Michigan, they can get anyone they want. And it's like Michigan blocks transfers, you know, like we talked about. Caleb Love wanted to come to Michigan. Michigan didn't allow him in. They don't have the best NIL situation. And then you got to deal with the whole Big Ten schedule. Like, it's a tough schedule. So I think it's going to take someone like the Indiana State coach, like kind of an unknown up and comer. I mean, if you think about when John Beilein came in, yeah, he had some success at West Virginia, but he wasn't like Coach Cal. He wasn't like, you know, Coach K. He came in and then, you know, turned himself into a really good coach or whatever. So yeah, I'll be curious who they hire, because it's going to be a long rebuild. There's no one on the roster. So it's going to be a long rebuild. It kind of sucks, but at least, like you said before, we've got that football national title to still be excited.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think we're all in agreement on Beilein, you know, 5 years ago, maybe, but not now. Let's get with a young guy that can build the program, deal with college basketball in today's age, you know, because it's a whole different world than what we're used to just a short, you know, 5 years ago. So, hopefully they get the right guy, and we'll see what happens.
A few of the names real quick I'll throw out to – I know you're about to transition. Just real quick. So a few of the names I see when you just search Michigan potential coaching hires, a couple of them that I'd like. I mean, Nate Oates from Alabama is at the top of the list. I don't think that's realistic.
And he already signed an extension.
Yeah. So that one's just – I don't know. That's Yahoo Sports.
He was the first one I thought of originally.
Dusty May, I do like this idea. Florida Atlantic's coach, which you guys are loving your UConn Huskies. That's a quite the tough draw in potential round of 32 matchup is a Florida Atlantic team with a lot of experience and a good coach like Dusty May. I'd be in favor of that. And then the other one that I think is really interesting, that I think actually if I had to pick who I think will be the coach in a calendar year, if he would want to leave, Brian Dutcher, San Diego State, has ties to Steve Fisher from his time there. He is a bit older, that's for damn sure. So, you know what, now as I'm saying it out loud, I don't know if I like it as much, but in terms of coaching acumen, that's one of the top guys you can get. They're good every year. Don't be surprised if San Diego State, I believe they're on the 5-seed line this year. Don't be surprised if they're in the Sweet 16 again because of their tough style defense. I would just love their play style at the University of Michigan for hoops. So that's why I want him.
That'd be another one. That'd be interesting. Again, kind of like Ted, you said the Beeline thing maybe 10 years ago with Dutcher, but with his ties to the Fab Five, I know he wasn't involved in any of the scandal stuff, but you know, he was involved with Fisher in the Fab Five. He is older now. I almost feel like that would, like the time has passed.
Yeah.
If they would have tried to bring him back 15 years ago or something, you know, 20 maybe. But yeah, no, he's a successful coach. He's a really good coach, but I don't know about bringing him back. But
go Blue.
Yeah.
All right. We're under a little bit of a schedule crunch. So let's just call this a podcast, guys. I want to thank again Memorial Healthcare's Wellness Center. Talk to rep, go online, see what discounts are available. Get healthy, get in shape. Details at memorialhealthcare.org. I also want to thank our other partners, AZ Branding Solutions, Jacobs Insurance Agency, Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services, Nelson House Funeral Home, Rivals Tap House and Grill, and Success Group Mortgage and Servicing. Real quick, like, there's still time to join the 3-Point Podcast March Madness Contest. Just go online. Facebook, right? Our Facebook page is probably the best way.
Yeah, Facebook, or it's on our Twitter too, but yeah, 3PP and Rivals Bracket. You can find the links on our social pages. It's free. Again, you're already in a bunch of pools, so just click ours and join it.
Absolutely. All right, that's it. Peace and love, everybody. Be kind. Thanks for listening.
Hey, gang, please consider a donation to the ALS Association Michigan chapter, serving people with ALS and their families since 1988. There still is no cure for Lou Gehrig's disease, and every 90 minutes, someone is diagnosed with ALS. For more details, go online at webmi.alsa.org.
3-Point Podcast is a Sportsnet Michigan 3-Point Podcast production. Subscribe and share on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, or any of your favorite podcast hosting sites. Comments and questions can be sent via social media at 3-Point Pod or by email to 3pointpod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.